Okay, so we are in Siman Reish Beis. The beginning of Siman Reish Beis are not sugyas that we learned that much about when we did Ketz Mevarchim, but I think it's kedai at least to talk a little bit about because they are some of the most important and lamaisa brachos shailas. So we'll start by talking about the bracha on grape juice. The Gemara Bava Basra, Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, going on to Amud Bey, says as follows. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvya Amar Rav, Ein Omrim Kiddush Hayom, Ela Al Hayayin HaRa'wi Linaseh Chalgabe Mizbeach. So you need to use wine that's Ra'wi Linaseh Chalgabe Mizbeach. Unute Mai? So what's that coming to exclude? Ile Melume Ute Yayin Megito Vehatani Rabbi Chia Yayin Megito Lo Yavi. It's not lechatchila ra'oi for nisuch. Demhevi kasher, the kevan demhevi kasher. Since b'diavad it's kasher on the mizbeach, anan afi lechatchila namitz lechatchila kasher for kiddush. The Rashbam explains, deleka ikuva inami haseich nasech mikol makom. The kevan delenasach delenisachim kasher b'diavad. Legabi kiddush kasher lechatchila delochamir kiddush kenisuch. In other words, we're not saying that Kiddush is exactly the same as Nisuch. If it's kosher b'diavad for Nisuch, it's kosher l'chatchila for Kiddush. So therefore, Yayin Megito is okay. Damarava, Sochet Adam, Eshkol Shalanavim, Omer Lo Kiddush Hayom. And I'll prove it. Rava said that all you do is take some grapes and squeeze it. Squeeze the grapes into a cup, make Kiddush. So what is that? What is Yayin Megito? What is this Sochet Adam? It's grape juice. So the Gemara Bava Basra seems to say explicitly grape juice is totally okay. And you saw that the Rashba in our Siman, quoted in the Beis Yosef, cites this Gemara. But let's just finish the Gemara. Elam utem yayin koseis. Coming lafuke yayin koseis. The Tani Vakulam Yav even heavy pasal. That's ma'akev. Why is yayin koseis pasal b'diavad? Because, says Rashbam, Delave Shaychar, the Lo Rawi Leo Shechar, Kiyayan Megito, the Sofo Miha Leos Shechar. So the difference between Yayan Koseis and Yayan Megito is as follows. Both of them are non alcoholic. However, Yayan Megito will become alcoholic. Fresh squeezed grape juice will ferment and turn into wine. So there's no din that it right now has to be wine. Grape juice is okay as long as it can turn into wine. So Yayin Koseis is invalid. Why? Because it can't turn into wine. That's what Rashbam seems to say. So turning to our Siman, the Rashba, quoted by the Beis Yosef, writes, Yayin Toseis mivarcha lavar piyagafen, sharei amru, sochet adam shal eshkol shal anavim, v'omer lo kiddush hayom, v'ein mekadshin ela al hayayin. So we're going to talk about several questions here. Grape juice in general, reconstituted grape juice, and then we'll talk about a yayin mevushal. So the question of reconstituted grape juice is a very, very important debate. What is reconstituted grape juice, first of all, just to clarify? So if you look on any juice, including grape juice, you'll see two options. There's non from concentrate, like if you buy orange juice, some of the more expensive orange juices say non from concentrate, not from concentrate. What does that mean? It means they squeeze the orange juice, they put it in a bottle, and they ship it to you. From concentrate means they squeeze the apples, let's say, then they remove the water, they shipped it, they put the water back in, not the same water, different water, they reconstituted it. So it tastes more or less the same, maybe it's somewhat inferior. In orange juice, it's somewhat inferior, so people will say, but they put the water back in and then they sell it to you. So it has the same makeup as it did originally. They just took out water, put it back in. So the question is, does that make any difference? And you will notice that if you look at the Ketem bottles of grape juice, the plastic bottles, the big ones, the very big ones, as opposed to the glass ones, and this is new. It's only in the last couple of years. Kedem used to not do this. Kedem used to be not from concentrate. But it's not true anymore. Unless you buy the glass bottles, the Ketum bottles, I believe, they say 100% grape juice. But then if you look in the ingredients, you'll see it says water. And you'll say, how could that be? It's 100% grape juice. How could you write water? But the answer is that they're saying that the water is just put back in that they took out. So they actually, it's reconstituted grape juice. That's what reconstituted means. So the question is, what's the halachic status? And the cheaper brands are all reconstituted. In Eretz Yisrael also, you'll see there are many different bottles, very many different types. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach has a tshuva about this. Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph, Simen Dalet, a very long tshuva. He's talking about grape juice in general, and then he addresses this question in specific. And the following. First of all, the whole idea that grape juice, so that grape juice is a bori pri hagafen, is very straightforward, like we just read in the Gemara. However, you could argue that based off of the Rashbam, that's only true if it's ro'i to become wine. So that's one question. Now, the truth is that even if you have grape juice that is not from concentrate, you have the question because it's all pasteurized, in which case maybe it's not ro'i to become wine. So that's a question about all grape juice. But when it's reconstituted, there's a different problem, an additional problem. What's the problem? So he wants to argue. Now, and let's just say, well, I would have thought reconstituted grape juice should be okay. Because even if you're going to say that the water doesn't, it's not the same if you take it out and put it back. But we know you're allowed to dilute wine, right? In the Talmudic times, they used to dilute wine 3-1. So that's what you're doing over here. You're diluting this wine. So why should it be a problem? So the answer is that Rosh Shlomo Zalman quotes this Rashbam that we just quoted from Bava Basra. And Rashbam seems to say that it has to at least be able to become alcoholic. And he's saying that when it's pasteurized and concentrated, it won't forget. It won't ferment. So therefore, it's not actually wine. And therefore, it's only fresh squeezed grape juice that have the status of bori pri hagafen. Now, if you don't reconstitute it, so then we say, okay, it doesn't lose the status. But once you take the water out, so it's not hagafen anymore, putting the water in doesn't turn it back into hagafen. And therefore, it would be shehakol. That's his argument. Now, he's not entirely sure. He's somewhat uncertain, but his lashon towards the end of the tshuva is hamur mikol ha'amor nira de'im ninkot she'ein lehischashev im ze shehatamtzis v'mayim einem ru'uyim lios mamish kamo yayin v'gam ne'mar shehatam shamayim mish. Well, let me just explain another thing that I didn't really explain. So why would this be different than wine? So the answer is that because wine ferments, so the added water becomes integrated back into the thing and turns into wine. But because here it doesn't ferment and can't ferment, then it wouldn't do that. That's basically his argument. So again, he's uncertain, but he thinks that since it's while in the concentrated state, it's undrinkable, so it wouldn't be hagafen, it wouldn't be right for kiddush. When you add the water back in, it doesn't turn it back into hagafen. So that's the mahalich of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Other poskim disagree, and they bring raya's from different tosfos in, and they say no. In the article from the CRC that we put on the group chat, quote, Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Felder both quote Tysfusen in different places that seem to disagree and would allow for grape juice from concentrate. So you could argue, it's not even poshut that grape juice that's not from concentrate would be good according to Shlomo Zalman, because since this is what Rabbi Cohen in that article pointed out that even regular grape juice that's from not from concentrate, they put a preservative in that makes it inedible, which they then subsequently take out. Now, his whole theory is that it has to be ra'oi the whole time to be bari priya gafen. Once it loses the status of bari priya gafen, doesn't once again become bari priya gafen when you add the water back in. So if that's true, so then it could be that no grape juices commercially available would be bari priya gafen, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But if you do follow Rav Shlomo Zalman's view, then you have to look which ones you get. So the ones from the glass bottles, I think, in Kedem, aren't reconstituted. So even the ones in the plastic, they write on it, it's bari priya gafen l'chol hadeos. That's what they write. I don't know what they mean. Maybe they don't take out enough water for Shlomo Zalman's ruling to apply. I'm not sure what they mean by bari priya gafen l'chol hadeos. But because Shlomo Zalman does seem to assume that reconstituted is an issue. Agav, if you want to just be safe, but you like more grape juice, I mean, if you also like a little bit of wine, so one thing you could do is you can, if you do 1/4 wine, 3/4 grape juice, then that would be okay with holidays, as Rav Yashiv says. Why? Because technically speaking, you're allowed to dilute wine to 3/4 water. So certainly you could do 3/4 grape juice. So therefore, someone who wants a very, something that's halachically wine and bari priya gafen l'chol hadeos would be able to do that. I remember someone once telling me that, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the question of grape juice, even grape, well, I'll leave that aside. Okay, so that's the debate, the machlokas poskim about reconstituted grape juice. Again, I think most poskim are mekel, or Shlomo Zalman was machmir, and again, his basic underlying logic was that if it's non-alcoholic, then once it loses its status of bari priya gafen, it doesn't get it back when you add the water. Now, the next question that comes up over here in our siman is, again, Reish Beis Sif Aleph, is the question of Yayin Mivushel. What's the bracha on Yayin Mivushel? So there are a number of Gaonim in the Rambam who say that you can't make Kiddush on Yayin Mivushel, and the bracha is a Shehakol. This is a view of the Rif and the Tshuva. And most Roshonim hold that it's Dino Kiyayin, and that's the Iker Shita over here, Siman Reish Beis Sif Aleph. That, now, maybe we'll talk about it briefly. And this question really comes up in three tchumim in halacha l'maisa. Number one, with respect to the din of stam yeinam. Number two, with respect to the question of bracha. And number three, with respect to the question of kiddush. So let's look at each one of those. So going back to the din d'oraisa, we know that there is a halacha of yayin nesach midoraisa. If you libate wine for idolatry, it becomes aser. The Chachamim expanded this to include stam yeinam. So what does stam yeinam, why is stam yeinam aser? So when you look at the Gemara, you get mixed messages. The Gemara Chaf Tesemet Aleph sounds like it's a chash that maybe it was nisnaseich lavodah zarah. In other words, it's an expansion of the din d'oraisa of yayin nesach. If you look at the Gemara on Lamed Vavamet Aleph, it sounds more like it's a din of binoseihem. Like we know, there were many restrictions like Pasakum and Bishalakum and the like, that were instituted to prevent intermarriage. So what's the reason for Stam Yeinam? So the Rishonim basically argue about this. What's the main reason why Stam Yeinam is Aser B'Shtiyah and even Aser B'Hana? So some Rishonim say it's because of Binoseihem. It's just that the Gedarim were Nikbe'u by the Gadir of Yayin Nesach. The Ramban sounds this way in Lamed Vav in the base, when we say these dapim are in Avod Zarah. Tosos also Chavtas in the base. That's option A. Option B is no, there actually is a concern that they were menaseich this wine. Ramban maybe, Hilchos Machos Zoras Perkut Aleph. And the third possibility is that there were two separate takanos. And there are two reasons for these two takanos. The Rashba has this approach. So, okay, so those are the different approaches to the idea of Stam Yena. What does this have to do with the Ayin Mivashal? So the Gemara in Lamed Amud Aleph says, Amar Rava, Hilchasa Yayin Mazuk, Yeshba Misham Gilo, Yeshba Misham Yayin Nasach, Yayin Mivashal, Ein Bo Misham Gilo, Ein Bo Misham Yayin Nasach. So if it's Yayin Mivashal, it's not Shayach the Yayin Nasach. How come? So from the Gemara in Chav Tesim at base, it sounds a little bit like this is because the Gayim are not Menasech Yayin Mivashal. And that's the reason. The Rambam, though, in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tes in Machal Zasuris is a very interesting thing. He writes, "Ein misnasech la'akum ela yayin shiratwi lahakriv al gabe hamizbeach." In other words, the only thing that could become yayin nasech is something that's ra'oi for us to be makriv on the mizbeach. We look at the dinim in the Beis Hamikdash. Umipnei ze kishagazru al stam yenam the gazru al yayin shiyigabau shiyasar bahanaya lo gazru el al yayin haroi lehis naseich. He only made the gzeir on yayin that we would be menaseich. Behetar. Lefikach yayin mevushal shel Yisrael shenagabau hakom. So if a Jew cooked the wine and a guy touched it, enu asar umotar lishtos im haakom bekos achad. Fine. So the geder of Yayin Nesach is totally in the geder of the Hilchos Mizbech. Now, why would that be? One possibility is that the wine that's kosher for the Mizbech is good wine. We don't like to be makriv Yayin Garua on our Mizbech. And it's the same thing for the Gayim. In which case, the Rambam is sort of like the first option that we said, like the Meiri, meaning to say that the reason for Yayin Mevushal being an exception is because the Gayim wouldn't be Menasech this wine. It just happens to be that which wine wouldn't the Gayim be Menasech? The wines, we also wouldn't be Menasech. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is no. Like we were saying before, even if they would be Menasech it, it doesn't bother us. If a guy decides to do it, doesn't matter, really. What matters is, and you'd have to figure out why this is so important, but what matters is, would we be menasech this? Fine. Now, a third possibility, or maybe second, if you think those are the same, is the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't like the Ramban's kasha pshat. He says, first of all, stam yenam is because of binoseihem. So who cares whether they would be menasech it or we would be menasech it? There's no shaychus to the mizbeach in the first place. Second of all, even if it was usher because of yayin nesach, why would we think that the guy would agree to our gedarim, right? So that's his kasha. So what is the pshat according to Ramban? The reason is because yayin mevushal doesn't taste as good. It's changed. It becomes inferior while cooked, and therefore there's no chash of binosayim, or there's less of a chash. He brings a raya from the Yushami. Finally, the rush, yeah.
Say that that's what the Rambam means as well.
Being,
that's what you're saying. It's not as good wine, therefore we wouldn't be in Manasseh.
Yeah, it could be, but there's no question. You're one step ahead of me, but you're right. There's no question that the Rambam is Lashitaso for Brachos and what he says over here. And it could be that that's the answer. In other words, what you're saying is, but the Rambam, it doesn't sound that way, because it sounds like for the Rambam the issue is being menasech. Even if you're going to say the Rambam is the same as the Meiri, but he doesn't say binoseihem, right? Again, I'll read you the lesson of the Rambam. Ein misnaschen la'akum ela yayin shiroi la'akri al gabi zbeach, right? Lefikach yayin mevushal shel Yisrael shenagabu akum enu aser. The reason why it's not aser is because it's not misnasech. According to the Ramban, is totally mitzvot. The pshat is chasnos, and the point is that, you know, what's the type of wine that's going to lead to intermarriage? Good wine, not junk. So, the fourth view is the rush. And he says, what, just because you heated up the wine, that solves chitun? Now, this doesn't think the Ramban makes sense either, right? People are not going to intermarry just because they heated up the wine. So therefore what? So he says a different pshat. What does that mean? It's very simple. It's not common. In other words, it doesn't make sense in the sense it's all, you know, it's not so logical. It's not so logical, but it's lo shchiach and lo gazru. There's no fundamental reason why yain mevushel should be different, right? In other words, there's no fundamental difference between yain mevushel and regular wine, as opposed to, let's say, the Ramban. Ramban says there's a fundamental difference. Yain mevushel is inferior, therefore there's no chash chasnas. No, the rest is equally fundamentally. There's the same level of chash chasnas. It's just that it's lo gazru because it's lo shchiach. Okay, so the next question we need to figure out is what is the hagdar? What makes something yain mevushel? And here, too, we have three major schools of thought in the Rishonim. The Gaonim say, it's quoted by the Ramban and the Rashba, that as long as it's hot, then it's yain mevushel. Even though it doesn't seem to make a major change in the wine. You heat it up, it's now yain mevushel. Even though the wine looks and tastes the same. The Ramban says no. It's only if it's nisma'it al yedei ha'or. By being heated up by the fire, it's reduced. I assume that means that, you know, because it evaporates off, right? So the chimam is memait, the amount of wine, it changed it. And then the third pshat is the Rambam, Hilchos Isurei Mizbeach, Perek Vav. Again, he's talking here about the dinim on the Mizbeach, Halacha Tes. And he says that it's, what is it? The Elu Hain Hayenos Haposlim Magabi Mizbeach, Hamasuk, Vamushan, Vamavushal, Be'esh, O Beshamesh, O Shinishtane, Taimo Bebishal. So that's what the Rambam emphasizes, that it's changed, its time changes due to Bebishal. So how do we paskin? It's a big machlokas. The Rashba thinks actually there's no machlokas between the Gaonim and Ramban, and he thinks that we accept the Gaonim against the Rambam. Others disagree. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeism in Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Gimel writes, Me'ema Sainik Mevushel Mishe Hirtiach Al Gabi Ha'esh. So that's the Gaonim Shita. Shach over there, Sif Katan Zayin, quotes the Ramban. He says, no, the Hainu So what is this? Why is this so relevant for us? So this comes up with the question of pasteurized wine, or grape juice for that matter. What is pasteurization? So pasteurization, we know we do to kill bacteria. So how high does it need to be? How hot does it need to be pasteurized? So more or less 60 degrees centigrade or 140 degrees Fahrenheit for 1 minute will pasteurize it. Sometimes it's a bit hotter, depends how long it is. There's this thing called flash pasteurization. But the point is it definitely doesn't need to, it's hot, doesn't need to be boiling. Will pasteurization make it mevushel? Now this might depend on this machlokas that we just said before. Do you say like the Gaonim? According to the Gaonim, for sure it's okay. According to Ramban, maybe not. According to Rambam, even less likely. It might also go back to the question of what's the reason for Yain Mevushel being mutter. If you just say like the Rush's reason that lo gazru because it's lo shchiach, so then, well, would we say this is shchiach? Because now pasteurized wine and grape juice is so common. Or no, maybe they'll say, it doesn't matter that now it's shchiach. Since in those days it wasn't shchiach, we don't have to add to the gzeira. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Yoredei Chelek Gimel Siman Lamed Aleph, has a tshuva about this. And he thinks, basically, the Gader of Yain Mevushel 4 is the same as Hilchos Shabbos. Ah, back to Shabbos, right? So he says, Kishin Zbashel, Kechom, Shayat, Zoledis Bo, Ubedin Bishol. And he proves it from Hilchos Shabbos. Even by Shabbos, we say lahakel, like in bishul achar bishul, once it reaches yatza lettuce bow. So why should this be any different? So you don't need it to boil. You just need it to be yatza lettuce bow. And he says that this is true even for the shach. There's even though the shach said that we should be choshes for the Ramban, that you need nismayit al yedei haor, yeah. If it's yatza lettuce bow, that's good enough. Rishlomo Zalman Orbach, Chelek Aleph and Mincha Shlomo Simon Chaf Hei, disagrees. Quotes the Or Zeruah, that you needed to actually be Nizbashel, actually cooked. So according to him, pasteurization wouldn't work. When for Moshe, pasteurization is enough. Typically, according to Shlomo Zalman, it's not. Why? Well, because he says, look, the Rambam says you need to be Mishtana Taimo, and even the Ramban implies that you need some type of qualitative transformation, and nothing happens here. The bacteria might die, but the wine doesn't really change in terms of its quality. And therefore, and adarabba, right, when they pasteurize it, they do whatever they can to not change the taste, right? They don't want the wine to taste any different because it's been pasteurized. Not all wine is pasteurized, but when they do pasteurize it, they still do their best to keep it, maintain the flavor. So therefore, what does he say? He says, lamaskana, Asher al kenir d'mashkas b'shulchan aruch d'mishir tiach al ha'esh lo nasar b'maga akum, which sounds like all you needed to be is hot, like with Moshe. My ridavka b'chi agavna shemara hayayin ishtana machmas ha'bishul. It means it's not just enough to get hot, like the simple reading of the shulchan aruch. It needs to actually be transformed, look different. V'lachein amrin and the kevin shenikr hanachri Yodaya Shazam Mivushal, the guy sees it, he says, oh, this has been cooked wine. I'm not interested in it. Avabuchia Gabna Deleka Shum Shinui. The Avshar Klalak here in Mivushal Olo. If you look at wine, you can't figure out is this Yad Mivushal or not, Mechatesi, that it's gonna change anything. So we have Machlokas Rishon Zalman and Rav Moshe. Rav Avadia Paskins like Rav Moshe. Though for slightly different reasons, if you want to look, it's Yabi Omer Chela Kras Yoredaya Simentes Vav, and he actually quotes Rav El Yashiv in that Shuva that Rav El Yashiv is also Machmir, though for a different reason, because among other things, remember we said before that the Rush says it's only when it's Lo Shchiach, so this is Shchiach, so therefore he thinks it's going to be Aser. So how do we follow? So the Minhag HaOlam is to follow Rav Moshe, that flash pasteurization does satisfy the requirements of Yain Mevushal. The OU follows that position, and they insist that the wine be verifiably heated to a minimum of 175 degrees Fahrenheit. In other words, that's like the highest yatza lettuce bow you could find, right? We're going to say yatza lettuce bow is enough, but we're going to see yatza lettuce bow l'chumra, and we're going to bring it all the way up to 175. As we said, not all posts can agree. According to Shlomo Zalman and Rav El Yashiv, that wouldn't be sufficient. Yeah.
Since we're just talking about pasteurization, does that mean, basically, I guess, see this question, that when we say pasteurization, the same degree for all foods, or this is particular to wine?
What I'm saying is about wine. I don't know about other foods, what's needed to be pasteurized. I think it might vary from food to food. Now, most wines sold in America are mevushal, at least according to Rav Moshe's standards. If you look at Israeli wines, especially many of the better wines, aren't mevushal. A lot of people got into trouble with this, because they don't even realize that their yain is in a mevushal, and they have it at home, and then they have a cleaning lady, and this and that. Yes, we'll get there in a second. I believe all grape juice is pasteurized. Now, if you look at the kedem, once again, the bottles, the glass bottles of kedem, those are for the yeshivish people who want it not to be mevushal and not to be diluted. So therefore, the glass bottles are non-mevushal, and therefore they might be kosher, according to the Rambam. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, is it really true? Because even the glass bottles are pasteurized. So the answer is that, because pasteurization could be effective from about 155 degrees. So it certainly wouldn't be mevushal according to Shlomo Zalman. It would be suffik mevushal if you follow Rav Moshe, because 155 is suffik yatzal edesbo. Truth is, it's very likely to be yatzal edesbo, but it's not vade yatzal edesbo. If you look at the OU website about Kedem, they say the following. The grape juice bottles that say mevushal are mevushal l'chol adeus, meaning even according to Shlomo Zalman. I assume that means, in other words, they're actually bottled, they're boiled, I guess. The grape juice bottles that say on their labels non-mevushal are accepted by all as not mevushal. Now again, that's not entirely true, because according to Moshe, it's a suffix. And then the grape juice bottles that do not say mevushal or non-mevushal are non-mevushal according to the Selimah Rav. I don't know what the Selimah Rav said, but I assume it's maybe something like Rav Shlomo Zalman or Rav Eliashiv. But yes, mevushal according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So I assume what that means is it's above 175 but below boiling. So keep that in mind. Okay, so all that sort of the Yoredei aspect. What about the bracha? So l'chora, the question on bracha is going to depend on the question of the heter in Yoredei by Yayin Nesach. By Stam Yenam. In other words, what do we see? We saw it's Machlokas. What's going on with Yayin Mevushal? Is it the pshat that it's not Yayin at all? Is it like Yayin that's Pugum? Or really, it doesn't make any difference at all. It's the same thing. It's just Lo Shchiach, right? So if you say that, just like the Rush, that there's nothing deficient about it, it's just Lo Shchiach, so then Mishtama, the Bracha, is going to be Bar Bir Gafen. And there's probably no reason why it wouldn't be valid for Kiddush. Whereas, if you're going to say that, no, it's pugum, it's deficient, so then there's a good chance you'll say it should be a shahakol. Why should it be a shahakol? Because when cooking something ruins it or makes it lower quality, then oftentimes that will change the bracha. So, and let's just remember, going back to that Gemara Bava Basra, Tzadi Bava Mabez, going on to Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, so the Gemara said like this. This part we didn't read before. Tana Rabbanan, Echad Shecher Tamar veEchad Shecher Seorim veEchad Shimre Yayin Mevarchem Alein Shachol Niyabivaru. Chem Omrim Shmarim Sheyesh Bahem Tam Yayin Mevarch Aleihem Bari Piyagafen. Rabba Rav Yosef Amar Tavayu Ein Alacha Kacher. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tovia. Amar Rav Ein Omrim Kiddush Hayom El Al Yayin Aroy Lenaseich Al Gabi Mizbeach Umutei Mai. And like we said before, lemuute, eventually kosef, mazog, negula, shalshma, shvechol ra. So here we're talking about the question of kiddush. Now it doesn't tell you what about mevushal, right? Very interesting. We have all Gemara talking about excluding certain types of wines, but we don't mention mevushal. But the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chaf Tes, Halacha Yud Dalet, writes that you shouldn't make kiddush on yayin mevushal. Why? Because Zayin Arayla Mizbeach. The Gemara said, even though, well, again, the Gemara said, Yayin that's possible in Nasaf Ha Mizbeach is possible Kiddush. But when the Gemara said, what's an example of that, what did it say? It didn't say anything about Yayin Mevushal. It said, Yayin Koseis, Mazog, Negula, Shalshmam, Shvecha Ra. So the Rambam says, yeah, it didn't say it, but it means it, since it's Zayin Arayla Mizbeach. So it's puzzle for Kiddush. So the Rambam, in the end of the day, like Yosef was pointing out, is Lashitaso. He's not machalik between Kiddush, Bracha, Yayin Nesach, it's all the same. Yeah.
But the fact that it might not be so puzzle that the Rambam thinks he wants to get rid of your death, in which case, then you have to figure out how to do the Shita.
Which other Shita?
Didn't some Rishon ruin the Rambam that just by omission, we can't prove that he wouldn't say break your government, right? In which case, he would say break your government on this.
That's correct. This is the way he's assumed, but you're right. That's unclear. So, fine. So what are the different shitos? If you look at the Tur, or Chaim Sin Reish Ayin Beis, he basically has two mahalchim in terms of this question of Kiddush. First, he says, Rabbeinu Shmaya, Kasav B'Shem Rabbeinu Shlomo, Shemivarchen Alav Shehakol, V'chein Kasav HaRav Yitzchak Ibn Geut, and Rav Haigon, V'kevan Shenasan Ha'or Tachtav V'hirtiach, Ein Bo Mishum Giloi, V'lo Mishum Yayin Nasach, V'ein Omim Alav Kiddush Hayom. That's the first school of thought, so it's possible. V'eino nira labal ha'iter, d'lo gara me kunditon, d'isa b'yishalmi, shiyotze bo b'pasach le'di abrakotus, v'chein pasav v'reinu tam, v'rish mekachin aliyah mevushal v'chein hizki, adoni avi arash. In the second group of Rishonim, the majority seems to say it's kosher for kiddush yimeka bori p'yagafen. Shulchan Aruch, reishayim chesed beis, quotes both opinions, but it sounds like he's mekel, because that's the stam opinion. The Lashon Shulchan Aruch is Mekachin al Yain Mevushal, al Yain Sheish Bo Dvash, Yesh Omrim Shein Mekachin Alayhan. And the Rama writes, Aminag Lakadish Alav, Afilu Yesh Bo Yain Acher, Rak Sheino Tov Kimo Mevushal, O Sheish Bo Dvash. The Lashon Shulchan Aruch is we hold that Yain Mevushal, though it's not Shaykh to the Isser of Yain Mesech or Stam Yainam, it's also a kosher for Kiddush. Now, is there an Indian to be Machmir? There's a Truma Sadeshan that's quoted later on in our Siman in Reish Beis, Truma Sadeshan Siman Lamed, and he writes that even though a lot of great Rishonim hold you should be Machmir, he thinks you could be Mekel, because their Mekilim have a lot of good Rayas. He writes, Yira, D'yayin Mevushal Ein Tzach Kol Kach L'daktek Latzei Sidei Kulam, that Tosis Parakets and Mevarchem, that's Tosis and Daflam and Chesim Beis, brought a Gevaldic Raya against the Rambam. And therefore, you could be Mekel. Aye, there are Rashi and other Gonim are Machmir. You're allowed to be Mekel. But then he tells you what to do if you want to be Machmir. Fine. Now, there are even those who say, the Tashbeit says, that it's Aleph Pei Hei, that maybe even according to the Gaonim, it's only if it's very cooked and like ruined, it gets like very thick and viscous. That's when they say it's a Shehakol. But if it's just, you know, quickly cooked, even the Gaonim would agree it's a Bari Priya Gafen. And they say it's not Ishtani Lagriusa because most people can't even tell. So there's a tshuva from Rav Avadya, Yechavadas, Chelek Beis, Simon Lamed Hay, who writes that even those who say it's Shehakol, if you make Bari Priya Gafen, you're Yotze B'diavad. Because it's true. That relates to the question we talked about before, that Chayadim, about if it's true. So that's what Rav Avadya writes. So, but as you know, there are Medaktikim, as Aaron pointed out, who are makpid to not use Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush and Bari Priya Gafen, they get Yayin Shein Mevushal. Though we should point out that even that's not so pashut, because it could be that all the grape juice at least is Mevushal, not all wine. Okay, so those are some of the issues that come up in Sif Aleph. Let's turn to Sif Beis. There's a machlokas here between Rama and the Gra. What's the din by a pri? Do we follow the shear of Ktsitsas Ilanos for Shvius? That's the Rama. Or for Maestros? That's the Gra. What would a nafkamina be? One nafkamina would be green tomatoes. My wife, so too bad my father-in-law isn't here, likes green tomatoes, pickled green tomatoes. You ever seen those? Okay, so, see? All right, so what's the bracha? So at least the Dirshu note points out that this would be a nafkamina, Dirshu note 28. Why? According to the Ramah, you would make a Bari Pri Hadama on them, because for purposes, they meet his qualification for Pri Hadama or Pri Ha'itz. According to Gra, that we follow Onas Maestros, it would still be a Shehakol until they start becoming red. So if they're entirely green still, they would be a Shehakol. So how do you paskin? So the Bi'alacha writes, you should follow the Gra. because you don't run of shachar. It's a shackle anyway. Though he says if you follow the Rama, yeshal mila smoch. Okay, turning to Sif Gimel. According to Mechaber, you make a brach of al ha'etz on gar'inim, like the ri, because le'inyan arla, they are considered a pri. The Gra, though, thinks we should paskin like the Rashba, that it's a bar priyadama. It's not tafel a pri, like the Rashba says. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, you should follow the view of the Gra and the Rashba. Now, this is relevant for gar'inim that come from a pri ha'etz. But gar'inim that come from pri ha'adama, so then the Rashba would say it's a shahakol, because it goes down one level. It's tafel to the pri ha'adama. So what does that mean for us practically? So maybe we'll say for sunflower seeds, they should be a shahakol, according to the Rashba Negra, because it's not a tree, right? So it's a shahakol. But that's not true. Why? Because in that case, the garinim are the ikar. Now, their debate was when you have a pre, now you have the seeds inside the tree, inside the fruit. So the seeds are secondary to the fruit. But here, in the sunflower seed, it's not secondary to anything, right? It's the ikar. There's no other part of the plant that's eaten. And therefore, sunflower seeds, even according to the Gran Rashba, would be a hadama. As you have a question, Moshe, let me just finish one more point. Now, the Or Lezion says, well, what about if most of the sunflower seeds are used to make sunflower oil? He says it would still be the same thing because that's Zayat Alma. So the same thing would be true then for sesame seeds, they would be hadama. If you have those sesame bars, like those sesame candies that have honey and sesame seeds, I think that would be hadam. I think the sesame seeds are the ikar, not the honey. What about roasted pumpkin seeds and roasted watermelon seeds? So since we pass them like the Rashba, they would be shahakol. But again, the Or Lezion says, well, if you buy these roasted watermelon seeds or pumpkin seeds from the store, they are cultivated for their seeds. It's not like the pshat that the roasted watermelon seeds in the store, like somebody was eating watermelon and spit out the seeds, and then they roasted them and the like. No, they were cultivated for the seeds. So again, he argues that even according to the Rashba, it would be a hadama. However, if you make homemade watermelon seeds or homemade pumpkin seeds that are made from like the leftovers, right? You eat watermelon and then you spit out the seeds, you collect them and you roast them, or the same thing for pumpkin. So then those seeds, since we follow the Rosh Panagra, would be a shahakol. Yeah, well, 1 second. Moshe had a question first. Go ahead, Moshe.
Yeah, you more or less answered it. I've been in the, I eat raw pumpkin seeds, not roasted ones. I buy them from the store. I don't buy the pumpkins first. I thought even if they're cultivated, well, for both reasons, that would be good enough for making adama on the seeds.
No, well, I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure about that. You're saying that it's only when they're tassel. So if they're cultivated for both reasons, it would be hadama still. You might be right. I'm not sure. You mean you're saying that the ones that they sell in the store, they do both.
Well, I don't know, but I'm at least I don't think they're just second byproducts. I think, I suspect more people eat pumpkin seeds than eat pumpkin flesh. I suspect.
Right. I suspect as well. So that's what the poskim say, that you could assume that the pumpkin seeds you buy in the store are hadama for that reason. Plus, you always have the other shitos who say regardless they're hadama. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
When you buy the pumpkin,
it's a good question. We look at why they're planted. Yeah.
So then, shouldn't we just be looking at how do we know what road?
Well, that's the point. I mean, again, the assumption that the Svarim say is that the anything that's commercially sold, it's not the Adai Tidahachi. So the Adama, basically, if it's commercially sold, whereas again, if you do it on your own, then it would be shahakra. Okay, turning to Sif Dalid. So here we have a very interesting question, which is, when do we follow Rov? In other words, let's say you have a situation, right? We know that if you drink olive oil plain, most Rishonim say you don't make a bracha at all. It's a zuke mazik, though the Rambam says you'd make a shahakol. Then what about if you mix it with a nigron? So the Gemara says, well, if you have a sore throat, then you make ha'etz because the shaman is the ikar. But if you don't have a sore throat, then you make a shahakol because the nigron or the ikar. What about if you don't have a sore throat, but there's more oil than a nigron? In other words, 70% oil, 30% anigron, but you don't have a sore throat. So what bracha do you make? You would say that here also you make ha'etz because it's the rove, it's the ikar. So the Tur seems to have a machlokas rishonim about this. The Tur quotes that Rabbeinu Yehosef said, Lav davka choshish begrono, el orcha de milsa nakat, vuadin emeno choshish begrono, im no sein shaman harbe latoch anigron, mevarech alav, so if you have this combination, mostly olive oil, miyot, anigron, even though it's not choshish begrono, you make ha'etz. The Bahag disagrees. He says, no, you only make ha'etz if your throat hurts. But if your throat doesn't hurt, you're just drinking it because you like it, then the anigron is the ikar. Even though it's the minority, and this is also the psak of the Marami Rotenberg and the Rambam. But the Tur writes that he thinks that Rabbeinu Yosef is right. Why? Because Kevan Chunana Lama Lo Yivarech, it's the Rov. Ad Rabbi Yosef Pashach, who Shitzach Levarech Alav Kasheinu L'Refuah, Mishukshu L'Refuah. If you have to make Ha'etz on the olive oil when it's Refuah, call Shekain if it's Einu L'Refuah. So here we have a very interesting machlokas, Rishonim. How do we paskin? So the Raman, the Daki Moshe over here, paskins against the Rabbeinu Yosef, like the Bahag. And that's the pashtus of the Gemara. Because according to Rabbi Yosef, it's a little strange. When the Gemara said, when will you ever come up with a ha'etz on olive oil? The Gemara had to say, hach ma'eskinan, that your choshish begrona. Why didn't you just say, hach ma'eskinan, k'shurov shaman? I guess Rabbeinu Yosef would say that's not so common. Usually when you're not choshish begrona, you just put a little bit of oil. But the simple reading of the Gemara is l'chaora, like the Bahak. Now, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? So it could be that they're arguing about the following Shaila. And we'll have a chance to see more on this Shaila, but just to introduce it, we know that we make the bracha on the ikar, we're protos atafa. How does Rov play into it? So we know that Rov is the ikar. But what if Rov isn't the ikar? In other words, the view of Rabbeinu Yosef is that we will always assume that the rov is the ikar. And therefore, if the ikar is the olive oil, you make ha'etz. And the Bahag is saying, no, typically we'll assume that the rov is the ikar. But doesn't mean always. You could have a situation where the miyot is the ikar. Where else do we see this machlokas? So there's a bunch of other places where we've already seen variations of this debate. I'm not going to say that they're identical, but certainly variations of this debate. So one of them is the Rush by Kol Sheyesh Bo Mechameshes Minim. So if you remember, the Rush says, what's the Chiddush of Kol Sheyesh Bo? Even by Minei Dagan, if the other thing is the Iker, we're going to make the Bracha on the Iker. The Chiddush is, even though it's the Miyot, it's Koveya the Bracha, even though it's the Miyot. So what do you see over here? Seemingly, the Rush is saying that yes, usually Rov is the ikar, but sometimes Rov isn't the ikar, like when it's chashuv, like Minei Dagan. Now, if you wanted to sort of minimize that chiddush and say you always follow Rov, you could. You could say, well, that's Dagan, that's an exception. Kol Sheyesh Bo is an exception to the normal rule. But other than Kol Sheyesh Bo, we always follow Rov. Or you could see the Rush as being emblematic of a broader pattern. So that's what we need to figure out. Case number two. The Gra, Reish Beis Aleph, by Shechar, that's mixed with wine. So if the Rov is Shechar, you make a Bori Pri Hagafen. Why? The Yain is the Ikra. That's the view of the Gra. The Rama says, no, you make a Shakal, you follow the Rov. Again, seems like it might be a similar type of machlokas. The Gra is saying, we look at what's the Ikra. Sometimes the minority is the Ikra. Usually, typically, yes. Typically, the assumption is the majority is the Ikra, but sometimes the minority is the Ikra. That's the view of the Gra. What does the Rama say? No, you always follow Rov. Again, you could try to deflect that. You could say, no, that's not a Raya, especially for the Gra. We'll say maybe the Gra usually always thinks the Rov is the Ikra. Yain is different because normally you dilute it with majority water, and therefore also if it's diluted with majority beer, it would be different. Okay, a third place where we see this machlokas. What about if you're choshesh begrono? So, but the shem is in the miyot, and the anigron is the rov. So in that case, what do? We make a ha'etz. So if we want to minimize that chiddush, in other words, it sounds like, again, we follow the ikker, even though it's a minority. Now, you could say, no, that's different because it's bala refua. So only in a weird case like refua is it shaykh that the miyot could be the ikker. Now, even in that case, it's a machlokas haposkin. Again, which case? Where your choshish begrono shaman is the miyot. According to the Bach, cited by the Magen Avraham Reish Beis, if kat and tes, even when the shaman is the muat, you make ha'etz. But the Magen Avraham writes that according to the Rush, it sounds like Dafka Shemen Harbe. Not clear if you need Rove, but at least Harbe. Okay, and then the fourth example of this is what we've just been talking about. According to the Rama, the Mechaber, the Rashba, the Bahag, if you're not Choshish Begrono, and you have Shemen, even though it's the majority, you still make a Shehakol because the Anigron is the Ikar. And that's the psak as well, explicitly of the Magen Avraham. Even though it's Rov Shaman, you make a shakal, not like the Torah, not like Rabbeinu Yosef. And here too, though, there's a machlokas haposkin. According to the Magen Avraham, again, Sifkatan Yud, even though the Shaman is the Rov, this is true, right? And that's, again, I thought the simple reading of the Gemara. And the Shar Tzion is also this Sifkatan Lamed Hay. Is Medaik, that's the Mashmaus of Avudraham. And that would explain why the Tur and Rabbeinu Yosef argue about this point, the Tur agrees with Rabbeinu Yosef. The Rabbeinu Yosef and the Bahag argue about this point. But according to the Taz, quoted in the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Lam the Gimel, stop on the Anigra Rove, and that seems to be the opinion of Magadha. In other words, it's not clear. But if you wanted to minimize this chiddush, in other words, accept the Magen Avraham that this is true, even when the shaman is the rov, you still say a shahakol, you could minimize it by saying that's because shaman is a zuke mazik. But normally, you always follow rov. So basically, we have four places where at least some of the Rishonim / poskim say that you follow the Ikar, even though it's the minority, we don't go basa rov. And again, in these four places, we sort of have two drachim. One derech is to say, yeah, that's because the rov is the Ikar by default, but it doesn't be that way. And the second derech is to say, no, that rov is always the Ikar. And it's only in these very unusual exceptions, whether it's shemen because it's mazik, or mimei dagan because they're so chashuv, or the like, that we have an exception to the rule. So again, some poskim don't deny that there are any exceptions, and even if you hold that there are exceptions, we could take two drachim, that they're very exceptional, or no, it doesn't have to be very exceptional. Yes, Yosef.
About Tom versus Roe. So, I mean, what degree should conscript. If the yam and the shefa, we keep saying that it can't ruin the tam.
Right. Well, that's clear. Can't ruin the tam. But even leaving that aside, so that we saw was a machlokas. Do you follow? Right. That was the Negra and the Rama. According to the Rama, automatically, because you always follow Rav. According to the Gra, you make a bar for your girlfriend in the event. Yeah, because, right. Okay. Another related point is whether bread is different. The Rif writes that when you have shemen with bread, you make hamoti lachem and ha'arex. That's the fact of the two of the Beit Mechaber over here. Sif Dal. So the Bach says, what is the Chiddush here? What the Mechaber said, that if you dip your bread in oil, you make hamotzi. And the Rabbeinu Yonah asked that on the Rif, what's the Chiddush? So the Bach says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. Even though you're Choshish Begrono, still you make hamotzi. But then the Bach said, well, one second, if I'm Choshish Begrono, I should make Kait, because the Lechem is Tafel to the Shaman. Just like lechem with maluach, the Mishnah Mem Dal Med Aleph, we say you make the bracha on maluach and it patterns the bread. So too, if you're choshish begrono, you should make the bracha on the oil and it'll patter the bread. So you have to say, if the Bach is correct in his Havana of the Rif and the Mechaber, they hold that pas has a higher standard. In other words, it's true that pas can be tufel to something else, like maluach. But to make pas tafel, because if it's chashivos, you need much more. Sort of like you see in the Lashon of the Gemara over there, maybe Mem Dal Med Aleph, the Gemara says, Miya Kamidi, is there such a thing that Meliach is Iker, pas tafel? And the Gemara says, yeah, you find it by this really strange fruit called Peros, Ginusar. Right? But it's like a very abnormal type of thing. Peres Ginusar, you know, you eat 20 pounds of them and you feel hungry. But normal food, yeah, we never heard of such a thing. So that's what the Rif would be saying, the Mechaber would be saying according to the Bach. In other words, even though when it comes to shemen against a nigron, if you're choshish begrono, the shemen is the ikar. But when it comes to shemen against bread, and you're choshish begrono, the bread is still the ikar. That's the chiddush. In other words, a standard to get to be the ikar against a nigron is much easier than to be the ikar against bread. Oh. But the Magen Avraham over here, Sif Katan Ches, disagrees. He says there's no chilo, there's nothing special about bread. Again, it's not very likely, it's not common that something is going to be the ikar against bread, but it's not that it's fundamentally different. What about the Bach's kasha? So he says, important rule, Mishum kushya demai kamash malan, ein levados din chidosh, din chadash, the harbe panim kasu aposkim din, probably pashut. In other words, the point is, that just because you have a kasha, oh, my kamash malan, doesn't give you the right to make up a whole shtickle taira. No, okay? It's not a chiddush. And though it's interesting, by the way, because even though the Magen Avraham was docha the Bach, the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chaf Tes quotes the Elie Rabbah, I didn't see it inside, that sounds like he paskins that way as well. Okay, Sif Hei. Did you guys get up to Sif Hei yet?
Started.
So should we wait?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wait. Okay, so Sunday we'll do Sif Hei, Sif Vav. I'd like to do Sif Zion, Trima. Let's try to get as far as we could get today so we can go. We'll talk about things like applesauce and the like. We'll try to at least get to Sif Yud on Sunday, and then Sif Yud, maybe Tuesday, we'll finish the Siman. Okay?
Can I ask a few questions?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, number one, I was surprised that the Rosh says that the Ptur of Yain Mevushal is its Lo Shechiach. I mean, this is more of a general question, not just about Yain Mevushal. If you have something and you have a special case of it, can you really get it out of the general gzeir by saying lo shechiach? I mean, let's say there's wine from a certain province in Australia, okay? So you say, well, wine from Australia is lo shechiach, so therefore it doesn't apply the gzeir of...
what you're suggesting is that it makes sense that if the fact that it's lo shechiach is relevant, then fine, I understand why we would say no, lo shechiach. But just because there's something strange about it. So I don't know if you remember, we talked about this earlier in this year. And we said, I would have naturally assumed like you. We saw a number of tshuvos, including several by Rav Moshe Feinstein, who said not that way. Who said, Milsad lo shchiach lo gazri be rabbanan means even if the lack of shchiach has nothing, is not technically relevant, still we would apply that principle. And that was Rav Moshe's view. Now the question is, what is the geder? In other words, when would we say that? One of the cases that Rav Moshe has, very surprising case, was about havchana. In other words, under what conditions do we apply havchana? And he says, well, this shaila that was addressed to him was a very unusual circumstance. So it's milzav al shchiach, lo gazu bei rabbanan in this case. So sounds like that's the possibility. And we had a number of rayos to that possibility. For example, the Gemara says, you know, what's the halacha if you're living alone in a chatzar with, you're the only Jew, a bunch of Gayim and one Jew. So you don't need to do a Schiras Rishos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, why do you generally need to do a Schiras Rishos? Because we don't want people to learn from the Maise Gayim. That's why they said you can't be Metalto. But it's Lo Shchiach that you're going to have one Jew in a chatzar with a bunch of Gayim, and therefore Lo Galchu. In other words, you know, is in that case, is it pshat that you're less likely to learn from him because you're the only Jew? Adrabba, you're more likely to learn from him. But lo gazru bei rabbana. Another example, the Gemara Beitza Yud Ches Amud Aleph. According to Rabba, the reason why we're not tovel kalim b'shabbos is gzeira shama yitaltalena daod amos b'rishus harabim. So the Gemara asks a kasha from a braisa that's matir tvila when it becomes tameh on yantif. And the Gemara answers that tumah on yantif is milzad loshchicha lo gazri bei rabbanan. So again, I don't understand. So it's loshchiach. But the chshash of shama yitaltalena is equally relevant. Right?
Yeah. So, all these are just amplifying my question.
Yeah.
You know, when the rabbis executed or instituted the gezeira on Stam Yenom, did they say Stam Yenom, but Mevushal doesn't count because it's not Lashkia?
Elama, the gather, there's, no, I'm not saying this is so pashut, but the gather is that they were gozer in cases that are Shkiach. Anytime. And they said, we're going to make a gzeira on the common cases. Uncommon cases, they weren't gozer. Now, you still have to answer your question about the Australian wine, which is that, okay, so maybe it doesn't apply. And clearly, you're going to have to say that there's some type of, there has to be an explanation why this is fundamentally a different category. But once it's a it's fundamentally a different category, then if it's lo shchiach, we could say lo gazru bei rabbanan. Now, in the case of Stam Yenom, it's a little easier because the Gemara says lo gazru bei rabbanan. With Moshe's chiddush is a much bigger chiddush because that distinction doesn't appear in the Gemara. In Adarabba, the Gemara says that Afchan is a lo plug. But nevertheless, the point is the same, which is the Chachamim were gozer only in typical cases. Now, let me explain why that might be. Maybe it's because of the general principle of limitations in Takana and Chazal's authority. The Rambam indicates, and this is where many of the Mefarshim explain the Rambam, that the Chachamim were very careful not to distinguish between dinim d'oraisa and dinim d'rabbanan. The reason is because the Rambam explains that if the Chachamim were to say that something is aser by Torah law, that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. So when they made rabbinic legislation, they did so in a way as to highlight the differences between the Rabbanan and the Raisas. The classical example of that is why we say Safik de Raisa l'chumra, Safik de Rabbanan l'kula. According to the Rambam, Safik de Raisa l'chumra is de Rabbanan. And according to the Rambam, the reason why you have to follow every de Rabbanan is because of a din de Raisa of lo sasur, and that's easy to call Shei Rucha. So why would you say Safik de Raisa l'chumra, Safik de Rabbanan l'kula? The answer is that the Chachamim wanted to highlight the difference between things that were deraisas and derabanan. So they built these distinctions in. So likewise, when they made gzeros, they made gzeros in common scenarios, not in uncommon scenarios. If it's an uncommon scenario, then the gzera doesn't apply. And therefore, once we could show that this is an uncommon scenario, then even though there's no fundamental reason to be machale, the gzera doesn't apply in that case. And you have to figure out, when do you say lo plug and when do you say mos lo shchicha lo gazer be'rabanan? The answer is going to be, clearly, that it depends if it's a fundamental distinction or an arbitrary distinction. So it still has to be a fundamental distinction, but it doesn't have to be a distinction that's relevant to the chshash, if that makes sense.
Well, when you talk about a chafchani, you're talking about a woman having to wait 90 days after.
Yeah.
Her infant. Okay. So let's say we have the case where the first husband was away on a sea trip for a year. And now, the news came back.
We don't say it in that case because it's a low plug. But the case of Rav Moshe was a case where I don't remember the exact details. Something was wrong with the get that he gave. So it was an invalid get. So l'chora, you would need to do a new get. It's talking about, here, I looked up the tshuva. I think this is it. Evan Ha'ezer Aleph Chafres. Rasha Echad, Shemechuna B'Shem Rav Shrima, Rav, Shrima L'isha V'amar Shesider L'get, Kasher. Uksheratzasa L'inase Amru La Shaget Eno Klum, V'achar Kach, Hisiga get kasher, im hitzricha lahamtin. So he was matir. Why? His lashon is ein lacha eno matri gadol mizeh shemechuna b'shem rav orthodoxy yitain ksav ptur below get. V'lachein mistaber shumamish kedin hazeh shelo gazru rabbanan b'chazu shein lachosh. Fine. So now, in that case, we know, you're right that in that case, there's no concern, practical concern for Havchana because she thought she was divorced. But there's a million cases of low plugs in the dinim of Havchana. Like you said, the guy was away, right? But we still apply Havchana as a low plug. Yet here we don't. All right, after Davin Mincha.
Okay.
But it's a good question, and I don't know if I've answered it, but it's an important
question. You cast some light on it, but it still remains fundamentally puzzling to me.
Okay.
I mean, okay, but you need to go to Mincha. I don't want to keep you later.
Okay.
Thank you very much for this year.